The songs, they got such meaning behind them. All right, stand with me tonight, if you will, for just one more time, so give honor to God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Stand this evening, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10 through 11. Right. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. The Bible says, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I in it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices." Notice that last part. "For we are not ignorant of his devices." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again tonight. Pray that you would bless the services. And Father, as always, Holy Spirit, I do ask that you would just guide my words tonight. Help the words I say be your words and not mine. And Lord, help me to be a blessing and encouragement to those that have come tonight. Pray the message would be exactly what we need tonight. And Lord, that we might hear from you. Thanks for all you do for us. Thanks for our preacher. Continue to be with him and give him strength as he's there. During this funeral time. Bless now the services, the invitation to follow. We ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you again for coming tonight. Tonight, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, 11, says, "For we are not ignorant of his devices." There's many things out there that the devil uses to trap us. Amen. There's many things out there that the devil uses to get us distracted. I feel, the honest truth is, I feel sorry for young people today. I honestly do. Back when I was growing up as a teenager, there's so many things that I didn't have to deal with, even in high school, that kids today have to deal with in elementary school. I mean, I didn't see a lot of things that you see. I mean, the worst I saw was some guy dipping, and every time he would spit, you'd step in it, okay? That was the big deal back then. It used to be so stinking disgusting. Of course, I'm from Texas. That's, you know, everybody does that. Makes me sick just thinking about it, even now, after all these years. But back in those days, I mean, drugs was not a big thing. Alcohol wasn't a big thing. We didn't worry about gangs and things like that. We didn't think about bullying. You know, they just stuff, a lot of stuff of that, it happened, but it just wasn't as prominent. Nowadays, I mean, it's not just high school, it's middle school, it's elementary school. Kids from first through fourth grade have to go through and see things that they should never have to see until they become an adult. They learn stuff a lot of times in school that they shouldn't be learning till the day they say, "I do." It's sad when kids are more educated on what it means to be a married couple than a man who's never seen anything before gets married. But it's because of the devices of the devil. His devices are to mislead, to trap, to deceive, to destroy. You know, and we as Christians, we are in a battle. Amen? Isn't it fun to fight? Don't it just get you all excited when you know you're about ready to get in there and get your butt kicked? Am I supposed to say that? I don't know. Those numbers. I still ain't figured all that out. But, I mean, you don't get excited knowing that you're about ready to get whooped. You know, it ain't no fun. You don't like to fight. I don't like to fight. You know, to be honest, I'm 51 years old. I've never been in a fight. An actual physical fist fight. Now, does that mean I'm afraid to fight? No. But I've never been in one. The closest one I ever came to was when I was in high school. Back when I was in a long time ago. Just back a long time ago. Anyway, there was a time where as a kid, I mean, I got picked on all the time. I was the nerd. I was the nerd of the school. One of them, anyway. I mean, you just look at me and know that you needed to pick on me. That was just the way other kids felt. And I remember when I got to high school, I got to ninth grade, and I was tired of it. I was fed up with it. I was tired of being the guy that everybody picked on. I thought, I'm going to do something about this. I'm not taking this anymore. You know, and here I am. I'm about in ninth grade. I'm probably close to 6 foot tall. I weigh all of probably about 130 pounds. You know, I wasn't big. I was tall, but I wasn't big. And I remember one day in PE, back in those days when they still had PE. I don't even know if they still have PE anymore nowadays in our school. But we were out on the courts playing basketball. And there was this one guy. He was about 6 foot two, weighed probably 225 pounds. And he's a pretty good sized fellow. Well, he did something that just got me mad. And I did the stupidest thing. I walked right up to him. Got in his face. You know, and of course here I am, little 6 foot skinny mini, look like a thermometer standing straight up. I get up in his face and I give him a hard time about what he did. I he's kind of looking at me and I'm thinking, you know, inside I'm shaking a little bit because I know if he really does get riled, I'm in trouble. I'm going to be the basketball the next shot, you know. But, I mean, I just got up in his face and I said, look, you know, we need to take care of this. We need to get this taken care of right now. I'm not waiting until after school. Let's take care of this right now. You're wrong. And he just kind of looked at me. And I don't know if it's because I had a deranged look in my face or what. But he walked away. And from that day, no one picked on me after that in high school. Smartest thing I ever did. Challenged the big guy. Now, of course, nowadays I don't do that, but you know. But I don't like a battle. I don't want to fight if I don't have to fight. But the honest truth is, as Christians, you're going to fight whether you want to fight or not. How you fare during the battle is up to you. You can get into that battle, and I won't say enjoy yourself, but you can go through that battle with victory, or you can go through that battle with defeat. That's your choice. Amen? It's not God's choice for us to lose. It's not God's choice for us to get our back ends kicked. It's not God's choice for us to be defeated. It's our choice. It's our choice. We're in a warfare. We're in a spiritual warfare. We're in a battle against the devil. Now, do I want to fight the devil? Not one bit. I'm not going to go out and openly challenge the devil. How many of us want to do that? I know preacher a lot of times says he's going to charge hell with a water pistol. Not me. No, I'm going with those cannons off of the fire engines, buddy. Forget the water pistols. No, I'm not going to openly challenge the devil and try to fight him because I know that when I do that, I am going to be defeated. I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to get beat. He's got so much, he's got a big advantage over me. He's been around a little bit longer than I have. He's been through a lot more battles than you and I. Too many times as Christians, we lose the battles of life as a Christians because we forget the enemy has been at this for a long, long time. We're not going up against somebody who just got out of high school. We're not going up against somebody who just started first grade. I remember what it was like in first grade. I was scared to death. My first year of school. You walk in there, everything's new. You look at, and all they got to do, all the other kids got to do is look at you the wrong way and you start shaking. You know, he's not a first grader. He's not a kindergarten. I'm not going up against Caleb. Now you put me and Caleb in the ring, all right? You give us both a pair of boxing gloves. Who do you think is going to win? Caleb. That's right. Because there's no way that I'm going to touch him. He's going to beat the fire out of me. He's what he's going to do. But we've got this idea so many times that we are just going up against somebody that, you know, that just showed up. He's had thousands of years of practice. He's had thousands of years of preparation. Thousands of years of experience. You know, he's got a lot of devices. And every year that goes by, he has more devices to destroy and deceive us as Christians. Amen? There's a lot of junk out there. A lot of distractions. A lot of things that can take us down. Now in this spiritual warfare, you know, we as Christians need to be prepared. Now what are some of the devices, of course, of the devil? He blinds the minds of people. You realize that lost people, a lot of times, when they do what they do, they think they're doing right many times. Amen? Look at the Apostle Paul. He was the prime example. The Apostle Paul went around in the name of God persecuting and destroying Christians. Why? Because the devil had blinded his mind to believe that he was doing right. There's a lot of times when you face lost people, they honestly think that they are in the right. They don't look at what they're doing as wrong. You know, we don't fight people in general. We have to get it into our minds. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the devil. And the Bible says that. Against principalities and powers of the air. You know, I don't fight against people. Now, of course, that's what I see. And it's easy for me to take out my frustrations on what I see when I should be taking my frustrations out on what I can't see. You know, I want to fight the devil, but I don't want to do it on his terms. I want to do it on God's terms. His devices are all out there, and he has a way of blinding those around us. And we have to watch for that. Not only does he blind the minds of the lost, but he also comes as an angel of light. And you can see this, of course, in 2 Corinthians 11. Different verses. Blinds the minds of the people, the minds of the lost, you see in chapter 4 there. Says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He blinds, not only that, the angel of light, chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, but I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit whom ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. I'm not sure if I got the wrong verses. 13 and 14. I saw the 3 and the 4. It was, all kind of looked the same to me. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Look, how many of you watch shows where people, they can change form, they can change themselves to look like something else? How many ever seen a show like that growing up? I saw shows like, I was a big science fiction fan growing up. I loved it. Star Trek, yes. I'm a Trekkie. Yeah. But these people are things where they could change. The devil can look exactly the way you want him to look. That's why the Bible says, try. Prove the spirits. Try them. Look, not everything that looks good is good. Amen. The devil has a way of disguising himself. If you haven't figured that out by now, you need to wake up. I mean, when I was in Nepal for those 13 years, I had a lot of people come up to me and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And then as soon as you turned around, they'd stab you in the back. The Bible talks about the devil in sheep's clothing, a wolf in sheep's clothing. He has a way of disguising himself to where even the strongest of us have trouble telling the difference. That's why you'll never, never be strong enough to face him. Never. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much of your Bible you know. I don't care how long you've been serving God. I hope that you never get to the place where you think that you've got a chance against him. As soon as you think you've got him figured out, he puts on another disguise. Amen? You just watch him. As soon as he thinks that you've got him figured out in this area, he's going to disguise himself and come from another direction. And then once you've got him figured out on that side, he's going to disguise himself and come from another direction. He's never going to hit you in the same place twice. Because he knows his best offense is to attack from all sides. in many shapes and forms. Sad to say, a lot of times he comes disguised as, I love children, amen? I do. But he uses children. Just like he uses old people. The devil will use anybody and everybody he can use to destroy you. I watched one show, I can't remember which one. I'm confessing my sins here. I think it was called, what was it? Mr. Disguise or something like that. About this guy that had all these different disguises. And every disguise he put on, he took on a different character. His voice would change. His whole character would change. It was the funniest thing you ever saw. It ain't funny with the devil, though. When he does it, he's not out to make you laugh. He's out to make you cry. Okay? So the devil, he comes as an angel of light. He disguises himself in an effort to destroy us as Christians. He deceives us. Look, the devil's just flat out liar, amen? There's no truth in him. The devil is a liar. How many of y'all believe that? Right? Then live like it. Many times we say that the devil, we believe that the devil is a liar, but we live in such a way that our life does not reflect Christ. If our life does not reflect Christ, then evidently we don't believe the devil is a liar. Because we have fallen for his lies. Amen? He deceives. Not only that, he turns his attention, our attention away from himself. You know, the devil is trying to get, he doesn't want you to focus on him. You know who he wants you to focus on? Come on now. Ourselves. You know, he doesn't care if you come to church. He's not worried about you coming in here. He's not worried about you coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. He's not worried about you reading your Bible. He's not worried about you praying. What concerns him the most is when you begin to focus on God. Because you know, the honest truth is, I know a lot of people that come every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, read their Bible and pray, but their focus ain't on God. Their focus is on themselves. They just do the, what do they call it? Just go through the motions. The devil, he doesn't want your attention on him. He wants your attention on yourself. The Bible, you remember in the Old Testament, talks about every man did that which was right in their own eyes. When we focus on ourselves, the cause of Christ fails. Amen? The devil wins. As long as he can get our attention off of God and others, and keep our attention on ourselves, he has won the battle without ever laying a hand on you. Have you ever been in a battle where you lost and then nobody touched you? How many have ever been in a battle like that? Brother Jim, you're the only one?
Many of them.
Maybe you've been in it and you just don't recognize it. You're defeated and nobody's laid a hand on you. That's the way the devil likes it. He likes it when he can beat you and never have to touch you. And he does it through the devices that he has. Okay? The things that he uses to trick us, to deceive us. Okay? Not only that, he attacks us at weak times. One of the best tools of the devil that I found with Christians is when he likes to attack when you're weak. When you're tired or you're not feeling well, that's when he likes to attack because he knows your resistance is low. Like this morning, my resistance was low. But I was determined that he wasn't getting in there. He likes those times when you're weak. That's why you have to be more on guard. Amen? I remember reading different things and different battles and stuff in history, different countries and stuff, and men would talk about how weak they were and how difficult it was to fight when they were weak. But yet they kept on going. Because they knew that the moment they let down their guard, the enemy would get the victory. Like, Brother Clyde, did you go over to Afghanistan or... which one? You went to Afghanistan? Both places? Were there any times where you had to work more than 8 hours? What's the longest period of time you had to work without rest? Well, I tell you, you're not a good illustration here. I'm sure that if he really thought about it, you'd be surprised. Brother Connor, when you... 3 days? Holy cow, man, I admire you, brother. Man, you're tough. Whew. 3 days without rest. Now, in those, out of those 3 days, when did you notice that it was getting tough? How long was it into those 3 days you started noticing the difficulty? Do you hear that? Every time, when you're weak, what happens? A lot of times you slow down. When you slow down, that's when he has an advantage. So what do you do? You just keep on moving. Keep moving forward. Keep your focus. Even when you're weak. That's a good example there. 3 days without rest. But there's going to be times where you're going to be weak physically. You're going to be weak mentally. Those are the times that you need to be most prepared. Because those are the times when the devil has the easiest time destroying Christians. If you're strong, he has less of a chance to win the victory. Amen? If you're weak, he has a greater chance to win the victory. He likes to attack when we're weak. Last night, when I was working, I was a little bit tired. I got a little bit weak there. But hey, I've been around doing this long enough. I got saved at 18. I've been at this for 33 years. I don't know everything that he does. I don't know all of his disguises. But I do know that when I am tired and weak, he always comes like clockwork. And sure enough, last night, I wasn't in full strength and I was trying to work. That's when all that stuff took place last night. He started attacking through the people of at my work. Well, he knew that today I was going to stand behind this pulpit. He knew that I was going to hold this book open. I was going to read this book. I was going to preach and teach out of this book. He knew that my job today was to come and be an encouragement and a help to the children of God. He knew that if he could get me last night, if he could get me down and get me weaker, then that I couldn't get up here in the power of the Holy Spirit and preach his word. Preach the Word of God. He knew that. That's why I said, okay, fine. If you want to play that game, talk to my boss. After I talked to that one couple and then I started hearing what they were saying afterwards, you know what I did? I said, devil, I'm not playing your game. And I shut them off. I tuned them out. I began to focus again on what I was supposed to do. And I walked away because I was not about to allow the devil to destroy what was going to happen today in the preaching. But the devil doesn't play fair. He doesn't play fair. He doesn't want to play fair. And when you're weak and tired and hurt and lonely and depressed, the devil comes and he knocks on your doors and says, it's time for you and I to rumble. And you know what we do? We have this ideal that we can do it. We can handle it. We can handle it. We can take him. Amen? We've got what it takes to take him. You're lying to yourself. Best thing for you to do when the devil comes knocking on your door and says, let's rumble. You know what you ought to do? Tag. Everybody know what a tag is? Everybody watch wrestling? Can't stand it. Can't stand watching wrestling. Just, I know it's fake and all this. I just, you know, this guy gets this guy, he gets that guy, this guy all of a sudden, I mean, he's just beaten and down and he looks like warmed over death. And then the next thing, it's a miracle. He pops up, grabs a chair, You know, grabs a soda machine, bashes the other guy over the head, sends him over the rail. You know, I mean, I was like, where did you get all that strength all of a sudden? I can't stand it. But I love the concept of tag team wrestling. One guy gets in there. He starts it off. When he begins to get weak and tired, he reaches to his partner and tags. And in the life, in the Christian life, we are in the ring. We are in the middle. Our partner is on the ropes, standing there, waiting for us to tag him. He's standing there with his arms stretched out, saying, "Come on, just tag. Just tag me. I'll take care of you. I'll help." And so many times we got this idea, "I can do it, Lord. I can do this. I have what it takes." No, you don't. Best thing to do is reach back and tag. So when you get in those weak times and the devil comes knocking on your door and he's ready to rumble and you can see the look in his eye that he's out to destroy, go over and tag your partner. That's what I do. I learned a long time ago, it's better to tag and run than to stay and die. Amen? So I reach over, I tag my partner, and next thing I know, I see the devil running away with his tail between his legs, yelping and whining. Because you know what? He ain't ever going to beat my boss. He ain't going to ever beat my partner. He'll never win against my partner. Look, if me and my boys were in a wrestling match against somebody else, we would probably get beat. Except for Joshua. But the thing is no matter who I have as a partner here on earth, you know, every once in a while they're going to lose. But with my eternal partner, he never loses. But you know what happens? A lot of times we lose because we don't use what's available. We don't tag. We don't use our partner to his full ability. Well, if he ever lets loose, this world's in trouble. Amen? Yes, in the front row, you have a question?
My memory's not the greatest, but...
Well, we know that, brother. We know that.
In the four Gospels, of course, Jesus took out many devils, and they were all afraid of him. They were always yelling, "Don't hurt me, don't send me, don't hurt me." But the only time that Satan himself, in his own person, came and took Jesus on was after 40 days of no food and no sleep.
That's right. And he still thought he had a chance. Look, the devil has many devices out there, and I pray that you don't get trapped by them. But how do we prepare? How do we deal with the devices of the devil? Number one, with knowledge. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible says here, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices." Look, the more you know, the better off you are. Knowledge will prepare you the most. Yeah, look, know what he does. Know how he works. Know the tricks that he has. Know what kind of individual that he is. Look, if you want to win a battle, Brother Connor, where you were at, okay, and you're in Iraq, did you guys study the enemy?
Yes.
Okay. Why did you study the enemy?
So we would know ahead of time the next move or so that we could intervene with what we thought they would do.
You learned their character. You learned the way they did things because in knowing them, it would help you to defend yourself better against them. So why is it when we face the devil, we don't take time out to study him? The more you know about this crook, the better prepared you are to face him. Amen? Learn who he is. Learn all about it. I mean, the God gives us plenty of examples of plenty of things that we can learn about the devil himself, his character and the way he does things. So knowledge is your number one tool in dealing with his devices. Know the enemy. Learn the enemy. Study the enemy. That doesn't mean that you got to get close to him. Okay? That doesn't mean you got to become your buddy, his buddy, just so you can figure out who he is. Stay away from him. You can learn the devil without getting close to him. Just like Brother Connor and them in Iraq. Did you go up to the enemy and say, hey, can I spend a little bit of time with you just so I can find out a little bit more about you? Yeah. Would you mind putting your weapons away so we can figure this out? Can you just tell me here? Let me write some things down. Do you mind if you tell me, if I go this direction, which direction are you going to come and attack me from? You know, you don't have to get close to him to figure him out. Study your book. This book will give you enough of what you need to know who you're facing. Know the enemy. If I want to win a battle, like I said, I'm going to figure out what the enemy's like. Not only that, with preparation, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. We deal with his devices by preparing ourselves. Ephesians 6:11, the Bible tells us, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the devices of the devil, the tricks of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. We prepare ourselves by walking with God. We prepare ourselves by prayer. We prepare ourselves by studying the Bible. We prepare ourselves by doing what's right. Amen? Look, if you're going to win a battle, you got to be prepared. It's like running a race. I mean, I remember when I was in the Air Force. I was not the prime example for the fitness exam. Okay? Now, I passed every time. But you know what my preparation time was when it was time to take my test? I'd go outside the day before, run a mile, and get myself ready. Back then, we only had to run a mile. I don't know how much they got to run nowadays. You guys got to run any today? Okay. I didn't know. Everything's changed. But, I mean, my preparation time for my physical exam was the day before. And I would pass barely. You can't fight the devil that way. You can't come up the day before the battle and say, okay, now I'm going to get myself prepared for this. He will walk all over you. You prepare by living a life that pleases God. Every day you walk and move and breathe, you should be in preparation. You should be preparing yourself for the next battle. You don't wait until the battle comes to prepare yourself. You prepare ahead of time. If I know that I'm going to face the battle, I'm getting myself ready. And the thing is, you say, well, you don't know when the devil's going to attack. No, you don't, but you know it's going to come. Right? Do you know the devil's going to attack? Now, the only reason the devil won't attack is because you ain't doing nothing. He's not going to attack someone who's not doing anything for God. He attacks those that are busy, faithful for God. He doesn't care about you when you're living your life according to your will. He doesn't care about you if you're following your dreams. He doesn't care about you if you're following your vision. He's only concerned with those that are moving in the direction that pleases God. So if you're doing right and you're living according to the Bible, the battle will come. You will have to face him more than once. Trust me, if he loses one time, he's coming back. He's not going to quit. We're not fighting against somebody who after one battle and loses, says, okay, you're fine, you're the winner, bye. Right? So you prepare yourself. Every day you get up, every day you get in your Bible, every day you get on your knees is preparation for when the next battle comes. Are you prepared today? If the devil was to come today and knock on your door, what have you done to prepare yourself for him? If you were to face him right now, one-on-one, mano-a-mano, how have you prepared yourself? Could you take a piece of paper and list the things that you have done to prepare yourself mentally, spiritually, and physically for the battle? You know, it's more than just the spiritual part too. You know that, folks, right? You prepare yourself more than just spiritually. You got to also prepare yourself mentally and physically. You can't fight the devil if you're not feeling good. Amen? What did I tell you? He attacks when you're weak. Take care of yourselves. You can't go and eat 50 bags of chips, take down 15, 20 sodas, and then be all hunky-dory and ready to fight. It's kind of like Brother Connor. If they had a diet of donuts and coffee, can you imagine our soldiers, if all the military fed them was donuts and coffee? What kind of a fighting force would we have? Now, brother, you do know that I have the pulpit at this time, right? But, I mean, just if you think about that, you know, there's no way that our men would be able to fight the battles that they fight physically if they were not prepared physically, if they were not taking care of themselves. Yet we as Christians got this ideal that the only thing that we need to get worried about is the spiritual. There's more to fighting a battle than our spiritual condition. It's our mental and our physical. It's all three. You've got to take care of all three. Amen? You have to take care of all three. So not only that do we prepare, but also we keep our eyes open. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. The Bible tells us here that your adversary, the devil, says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Did you know that the devil doesn't have to take time out to rest? He's always on the move. He's always looking and looking for that one moment that he has a chance to win. That's why we as Christians always have to pay attention to what's going on around us. Look, the devil's all around, amen? He'll come at you from all different sides. You got to keep your eyes and ears open. It's kind of like going into a haunted house. How many of y'all been in a haunted house? Ain't exciting. You walk in there and you're just kind of waiting for what's coming next. But you're watching. You look to the left, you look to the right, you look ahead of you, above you, and all. You're preparing for when that first person jumps out and scares the bejeebus out of you. Amen? But you're always watching. You know what's funny? We're more prepared in a haunted house than we are for real life. Because when the devil jumps out to scare us, he's not out to just scare us, he's out to destroy us. He's not satisfied with He don't care if you wet your britches. Okay? He wants to take you down. He wants to hurt you. He wants to walk away and leave nothing but a bloody mess. Watch. Keep your eyes open. There's a lot of stuff. If you just keep your eyes open and pay attention to what's going on around you, you'll be able to spot a lot of things that the devil's trying to throw at you. But so many times we're too focused on ourselves and what's just right here that we forget to look to the right, to the left, in front of us, and in our back of us. We don't have to look up because we know He's up there taking care of us. Amen? But everywhere else around you. Look, us men, we know it. You know, there's a lot. Keep your eyes open. And ladies too, same way. Keep your eyes open. There's some bonehead out there that would just love to destroy the marriage that you have with that man. And there's some woman out there that would love nothing better than to take you down. And the devil has plenty of volunteers. You know, it's kind of like terrorism. The devil's army is not lacking for volunteers. There's plenty of people out there that he can use and will use because of their willingness to help destroy you. Amen? Young people, hey, this is not just pertaining to us older people. This is pertaining to you young people too. You teenagers, keep your eyes and ears open. Watch what's going on around you. You're at an age right now where things are changing inside you. You better pay attention to what's going on. Because the devil will get in there. He has a way. And one of his biggest devices to me is this fitting in device. I just want to fit in. I don't want to fit in. I want to be what I need to be for Christ. If I fit in with Him, I'm good. I don't have to fit in with everybody else. Now, I need to get along with everybody. Amen. I don't need to be a jerk and all that stuff. But look, keep your eyes open. Watch what's going on around you. Not just during those times that you're strong, but you better especially pay attention to what's going on when you're weak. Because that's when, like I said, he attacks. We resist the devil. James 4:8 tells us to resist. Okay? 4:7, James 4:7, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What does he say first? Submit yourselves therefore to God. In order to resist the devil, in order to fight the devil, to resist his powers of temptation, to resist the distractions and things that come your way, first of all, we need to submit. In other words, we need to give ourselves to God. We need to know and make sure that He has full control of what's going on with us. Because the more He's in control, the more we are able to resist. The less God controls us, the less we are able to resist the devil and his devices. I don't believe that's a coincidence. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then it says, resist the devil. Okay? God needs to be in control. And of course, another way we prepare ourselves is the Holy Spirit of God. Right? The Holy Spirit was put there for a purpose. He came in to live inside you for a reason. Amen? We talk about God the Father, we talk about God the Son, but most of us don't talk a whole lot about God the Holy Spirit. Well, He's just as much God as the other two. He has all the same abilities, all the same characters, all the same powers. Amen? And He was given to us, each and every one of us, to help us in the battle. Use His wisdom. Use His guidance. Use all that He has to offer to prepare yourself better for the devices of the devil. There's a lot of things the devil can use and will use to destroy each and every one of us. And most of our losses is all in the fact that we're just not prepared. So tonight I ask you, how prepared are you for the battle that is coming next? Maybe you won the last battle just barely. Maybe you did just enough to get through, but are you prepared for the next one? And the next one. And the next one. And the next one. Because until the day you die, until the day God says it's time to come home, there's going to be one battle after another. They're not going to stop. If you think that you're going to get to a place in your Christian life where you don't have to fight anymore, then you might as well just ask God to take you home now. Because that ain't ever going to happen. I've seen men, great giants of the faith in their older years destroyed by the devil. By one moment of temptation. Men of God leaving their wives after 30, 40, and even sometimes 50 years because of one moment of temptation, one moment of pleasure. The devil is going to fight you until the day God takes you, because once you're in heaven, he can't touch you. Amen? I can't wait till that day when I tag for the last time. Because when I tag, I'm going out of the rink and I ain't coming back in. And I won't have to worry about it. But until that day comes, I have got to stay prepared for the battles that will come in the future. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank You again for today. Help us now as we prepare for the invitation time. Lord, thank You for all that You do for us. Thank You for how You help us, Lord, during the battles. Help us, God, to be prepared more and more each day for the devices of the devil. The devil gets stronger. And if we're not careful, Lord, we know that he can beat us and he can hurt us. We need to stay close to you. We need to learn and to be more aware of what's going on around us. Help us to be more prepared for the next battle that comes. Thank you for all those that have come tonight. Pray that you bless the invitation time. Speak to hearts as only you can. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Everyone standing tonight. If God has spoken to your heart, I don't know what God's doing in your life right now, but maybe God spoke to your heart concerning the message, concerning some of the things that were said, concerning some of the verses that we saw tonight. Maybe there's some areas in your life that you're not prepared in. Maybe there's some places that you need to work on. Well, tonight could be the night that you could come down to this old-fashioned altar and take care of business. Do business with God. Make a decision tonight that you're going to do better. Make a decision that you're going to be more prepared for the devil, the devices, the battles to come. So as the pianist plays tonight, the invitation time, if God spoke to your heart tonight, you come. The altar is open. Some have already come tonight. If you need to join them, then you come. How's your life, my friend? How's your life? How did you do in that last battle? What were the results of that last battle that you faced the devil? How'd you fare? Did you come out of that battle unscathed, untouched? Or did you come out of that battle with a few bruises and bumps and cuts and wounds? Maybe it's because you're just not prepared enough. So tonight, if you need to do business with God, you do business with Him. If God's speaking to your heart, then you need to listen.